The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So I'm going to start by saying this. I have an entire sermon written on a manuscript over there. I may say some of the things that are on that manuscript over there, and I may say a bunch of stuff that's not on that manuscript over there. So if you're curious about what that says, I'll post both sermons tomorrow, and you can listen to the one you didn't get to hear today. Okay? The reason for that is this. Today we're talking about giving God the glory. We're talking about the term sola dea gloria. And it's probably one of the hardest things for me, as kind of just being who I am as a human being in the world, to talk about. So I did my diligence and I wrote some really good words about it, but I want to try to approach it a different way at this point. Okay? So bear with me for a second. I think we've all seen some of those obvious ways of people who might be giving praise to God. If you're a sports fan, you know, you see the guy who scores a touchdown, he points up to heaven, or you see the guy hits a three-pointer, he does the same thing, whatever it might be, a way in which we give God the glory. Now, some of you might say, is he really giving God the glory, or is he just drawing attention to himself? Of course, that's something that we don't quite know and we can't quite fully understand. But now when Pastor Sarah, whenever she sees that, when she's watching football with me and she sees somebody do that, she says, I don't think God really cares that much about football. And there are days I think she's probably right. I care about football though, so that's how it works. There's a bit of a joke in my house. If you get to know me, you might know me as less reserved than you do if you just see me up here on Sunday morning. I can be stiff. People, when they first meet me, can think I'm a little bit stiff. And my kids joke about kind of who I am as a person all the time. And they say this about me, and I'm not even going to remember probably what all of them are, but they say there's only a few things in the world that really get to me emotionally. One is Star Wars. Another one is the Packers. What's the third one? What? Singing. Singing is another one. Those are the things that really get to me as a person. Now, if you notice that, there's no mention of family, right? Well, I redeemed myself on that one. So a week ago Friday night, Isaac and Evelyn got into a car accident. And they're both okay. But I can tell you from the dad who, when I got out of the van and I saw my two kids on the side of the road, and I got teary-eyed and I gave him a big hug because they were okay. And so later, we're at home, and what does my oldest son say? He goes, oh, Dad, so I'm so thankful we can add family to the list now. So that's kind of how that works. But why I want to tell you those pieces, why I want you to understand this from maybe a different point of view, is that this idea of giving God the glory might seem a little bit strange. And it seems strange kind of for who I am. The other joke I told this morning, and I'll tell it to you as well, is that I grew up as a Scandinavian-raised kid, which meant that you could, when something really excited you, you could smile big. And that's about it. You know, so excitement in my family was smiling big. You know, not much past that. So So what I'm trying to say is that this idea of giving God the glory doesn't come maybe as natural as it could. And I think there's also a danger in it, and I think the danger brings us back to the football player raising his fingers to heaven, pointing to God, is that, is this about me, or is this about God? And one of the things that throughout this Reformation series, these alones of the Reformation, is that we realize that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's grace, God's salvation. There's nothing that we can do to earn those things. And actually, in the middle of worship this morning, somebody even argued with me about the last line of Luther's prayer. And the line that says, "But to whom I may not give." This idea that there's nothing that I can give to God. And I think this is a hard thing for us to understand. One of the things I love about Luther is his honesty in how things work. And one of the things that Luther says is, and he's not talking about glory as much, but one of the things he talks about is he's talking about doing the right thing. And he says, as soon as I recognize that I'm doing the right thing, I'm no longer doing the right thing for the right reason. Because as soon as I recognize that I'm doing the right thing, I think, oh, I'm doing the right thing. Meaning that I bring that focus and that emphasis back onto myself and not on to God. And I think the same is true when we give glory to God, we give praise to God, is that we can easily turn that back in on ourselves. One of the things that we do, one of the ways that we give glory, one of the ways that one of the ways that we give glory is simply by doing what God has created us to do. And by doing that fully, doing that well. But when we do what we do well, people do what? Or as Pastor Tom talked about it last week, somebody might say, well, good sermon, Pastor, right? And so is it my good sermon or is it God's word? Thanks for bringing the word. I like that and it still has stuck with me. Because the reality is, as human beings, that as soon as that glory, a little bit of that glory comes to us, we want to keep it for ourselves, right? That we have the temptation that as soon as we hear those things, we want to keep it for ourselves. I even think the same is true of the opposite. If somebody says something negative to you, you want to keep that for yourself too. Anybody have that problem? You hear that louder than all the nice things people say. You hear one negative thing. And I think that's part of who we are, is we want to keep these things for ourselves. And what giving God the glory, what we are want to be reminded of today is that all of these things are God's. All of these things are God's. That the abilities that we have come to us from God. The things that we have come to us from God. And because all of these things come to us from God, there's really nothing that we can give back to God. Even our praise, God doesn't necessarily need our praise. God's not somehow lonely and needs us to lift God up. God doesn't need our praise. But our praise comes from something inside of us that needs to say thank you, that needs to return that thanks to the one who has given us everything. Because as soon as we think that it's about, well, God pays attention to our praise, well, then all of a sudden my praise does something, right? My praise somehow affects God. And if my praise affects God, then it doesn't all come from God. Do you see where the trouble comes? As soon as I start interjecting myself into things, then I take away from what God has already done through Jesus. And so there are so many places in Scripture that talk to us about how it is that we can give praise to God. And that we can give praise to God not only in the magnificent things that we do, The big things that should be clearly and obvious a God moment that we should give thanks for. For me, those are those moments when I can see God's creation the fullest. If you've ever driven on Highway 512 from Tacoma to Puyallup, and you see Mount Rainier on a clear day, and if you can't give praise to God in that moment, you're dead. No, I don't know. I just can't. I can't imagine, okay? I can't imagine. Because for me, I almost can't drive down the road because I'm so busy staring at Mount Rainier because it looks so amazingly beautiful. What I'm trying to say is there are those magnificent things that cause us to stop and cause us to give praise to God. When your kids are on the side of the road and they just got in an accident and they're okay, you give praise to God. Those are the obvious magnificent things. But the other side of it is that we're meant to give praise in the midst of the mundane things of life as well. And this part's a little harder, I think. So how many of you, when you're washing the dishes or doing laundry or folding socks, give glory to God? Or do you curse your kids for having so many socks? Or if you're mowing the lawn or cutting weeds or trimming branches or changing the oil in the car, how many of those things cause you to stop and give thanks to God? See, I'm not sure that we recognize that giving thanks and those mundane things, as easy as it is in the magnificent things. But I think the reality is this, that when we recognize all of those ways in which God is acting in our lives, when we recognize all those ways that God is present in our lives throughout our day, whether it's in the most of those basic mundane things that we do each day, or if it's in those magnificent ways that you can't just help but stop and take a deep breath and go, holy cow, God, yes, I'm paying attention. When we can recognize all of it being from God, then who we are becomes a way in which God is given praise. And one person says it this way, is that, you know, we're meant to do good in the world. We're meant to do good things in the world. We're meant to do good things in the world for the sake of someone else, for the sake of our neighbor. And I guess that's the question, at least I have for the football player when he's pointing up to heaven, is who did that benefit? Who did that benefit? Maybe it benefits the whole team. Did it just benefit him? Did it benefit the whole team? What I'm trying to say is this, is that when we're living following God, when we're listening to God active in our lives, it causes us to live in relationship with other people. It causes us to care for the people around us. It causes us to lift up those who are around us. And that's the object of our good works. Our good works are only good because they help someone else. It's not because God wants them. It's not because God needs them. It's because they're given for the sake of someone else. They're given for the sake of those who have that need. And I think, so what I think for me is that it's to try to remember those ways, those different things in life that truly bring that kind of sense of awe and glory to me, but then also to remember all of those other things that I do each and every day that also give praise and glory to God. And one of the things about that too is that when we're doing what we are called to do, when we're doing what we are meant to do, we are living in a way that gives God that glory. When we're doing the things that we're meant to do, we're giving God the glory. And what I want to say to you is if you're doing something that doesn't kind of have that feeling for you, if you're feeling a little discontent in the world, I want you to think of it this way. When Sarah and I first got married, I needed a job to support us in our really crappy apartment we had. We started out in. I always say everybody needs a crappy apartment that they start out in because it makes you appreciate everything that comes after. But I worked at Future Shop for full commission. So I sold computers at full commission. And the reality is that to be a good salesperson and to make good commission for yourself, you have to be on the lookout for yourself and not the customer. And I was a really lousy salesperson because I wanted the people I was selling stuff to be happy. And I wanted them to get what would actually benefit them and would actually be good for them. And everybody I worked with, they couldn't understand me. They couldn't figure it out because they were there, they would sell you anything. They would tell you anything if they thought they could make more money because they sold you whatever this product was. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, I had almost made $500 for the day, and that was a big milestone. If you made $500 in a day, that was a big thing. And I was at $480-some, I think. And I went to my manager, I said, "Can I go home?" And everybody else goes, "You're almost at $500, why would you want to go home?" And I said, "Because my wife's waiting at home. There's something more important than being here trying to make more money on this day when I've already made more than I've ever made before." That understanding in that moment that if I couldn't be helping somebody else, at least I could be with my family, that I could be someplace else. And I think so often what happens when we feel discontent is we've lost ways to find how we can help others. And so if you feel discontent in your life, then try to figure out where are those places that you can help other people. If you can't do it at your job, then where are those other places that you can help someone else out? Because it helps us to be who we're created to be. To use the gifts we have, to use the abilities we have, to find a way to share those with the world. And so, I want us to remember that God calls us to give thanks in all circumstances. To give thanks for all the things that we have. From the most simple, probably even that mismatched sock that's been in the mismatched sock drawer for months and we're never going to find the other one. Can we give thanks for that? And then can we give thanks for the magnificent ways that God is active in our lives? Can we give thanks for those moments when we just have to stop and say thank you? From the mundane to the magnificent, we are called to give God praise. Amen.